Let us break bread together on our knees. Let us break bread together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, oh Lord, have mercy on me. So we take a knee, praying to God, repenting before God, asking for God to have mercy on me. We take a knee for Jesus because he takes a knee for us and works it all out. He's working it all out. How many of you remember growing up in a church where there was a railing by the altar and there was some cushions there and you would kneel when you went up for the Lord's Supper? Well, a lot of churches have gotten away from that because it takes about an extra 10, 15 minutes to have kneeling communion, right? And we're in a hurry, we're in a rush. Some churches just have walk-through communion. Some call it drive-through communion. Some call it head of the aisle, right? We have different words for that. We can kneel in our hearts, even if we've had knee surgeries and we can't physically kneel with our bones, or we can maybe get down and can't get up again. Here at Oasis, the space that we rent, there is no communion rail. There is no communion kneelers, right? But I've been into some Lutheran churches where you can kneel by the altar and receive the body and blood of Jesus, where you can come in and even you hear the sound as those wooden things are hitting the floor. But some Lutheran churches actually have kneelers in the pews for like the brief order for confession and forgiveness, for like before or after communion, like the beginning of worship in Catholic churches where you can pull them out and you can spend some time in prayer, preparing for worship. When I fall on my knees, God is working it out. My salvation, working my salvation outward. Some of you may remember in 1998, there was an article in the Minneapolis Star and Tribune about a little three-year-old. I still remember it with some laughter. Her name was Katie, and she had probably an early bout with the flu, and so she had gone in. Her mother took her in to see the pediatrician. And the doctor, you know, most pediatricians, they want to be very gentle. They don't want to scare these little kids. And so he says, Katie, I'm going to look in your ear. When I do that, am I going to find Big Bird? And she says, no. And then he says, now, Katie, I'm going to look in your mouth. And when I do, am I going to find the Cookie Monster? No. And then he gets, you know, with a stethoscope, he says, now I'm going to listen to your heart. And when I do that, am I going to find Barney? And Katie looked at him and she says, no, Jesus is in my heart. Barney is on my underwear. Well, here's the question. Where is Jesus in your life? Where is Jesus in your life? When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising Son of God, oh Lord, have mercy on me. Well, I don't need to tell you that if you've been paying attention to the news for the last week or two, or probably since Colin Kaepernick, you know, decided that he'd rather be unemployed and just simply take a knee, that there's been a lot of controversy about our professional athletes making millions of dollars and deciding that this is going to be a great place to lodge a protest. When the national anthem is being sung or played and when the flag is being unfurled. Now, a lot of people have a lot of different opinions about that practice or that protest or what people are doing when they're taking a knee. And as I tried to explain to the children tonight in the children's sermon, there are a whole bunch of different reasons why people take a knee. But there's only one reason why a child of God takes a knee. And Paul says that is to show reverence and awe to our one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who took a knee for us, where in the words of St. Paul to the church at Philippi, though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He emptied himself. He took on the form of a servant. He humbled himself, being found in human form and likeness. He became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. The incarnation is when God takes a knee for your salvation and mine. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and placed on him the name which is above every single name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So I don't know how you feel about all this stuff happening in the news, but it's probably a good thing for us to pay attention to Scripture. Because St. Paul will say to the Corinthians, all things are lawful. You can do it. I mean, First Amendment, freedom of speech, you can do it anytime, right? But Paul will say, not all things are helpful or of benefit to the body. You know the name John Kelly? He was asked by CNN, he said, what do you think about this conflict where the president has been pouring gasoline on the fire? You know, there's this big rift now between the NFL and the owners and the players and the president of the United States. And John Kelly, who is chief of staff, he said, I think that when the national anthem is sung or played, a person should stand and place their hand over their heart, and that they should remember all the men and women who have been maimed or killed. He said, I'm appalled. I think that for 3 minutes, a person ought to be able to stand and just think. Now, if you know the name John Kelly, you know that he's a decorated soldier. And you probably also know that his son, Robert Michael Kelly, was killed in combat in 2010 in Afghanistan. So people are free. That's why blood is shed, so that we can be free. And some people might reduce taking a knee, which is reverence to God, which is humility, which is saying, Lord, let me be your servant. They might reduce it for all kinds of protesting motivation. And guess what? They're free to do it, just like our president is free to speak his mind with tweets and everything else. But is it good? Is it beneficial to the body? It was Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, who said, and he put a thing, I think it was on one of his tweets, you know, and maybe some of you saw this, where at the game, we're concerned about what the players are doing or not doing, right? Maybe they're in the locker room, etc. But if you pay close attention, you're going to notice that all of these people that have these big cameras and stuff, the cameramen, they're taking a knee too. And then they got their hats on and they've got it up there so they can get a close-up face of all these athletes while the anthem is being sung. Is that respectful or disrespectful? The NBA sent out a memo to the 30 teams and they said, just want to remind everybody that it is our policy that when the national anthem is sung or played, that all the players and coaches will stand and show respect. NASCAR, you heard what they said. Anybody disrespects our country and our flag and the men and women that serve our nation, they're going to get a one-way bus ticket back home on Greyhound, or they're going to get fired. Different perspectives, right? What I'm suggesting is it's probably a good thing that the good Lord has given us our epistle lesson for tonight. So regardless of where a person falls in the midst of all this debate, we know why God's people take a knee. It's in repentance. It's in reverence. It's our way of saying the bride to the bridegroom. You died for the forgiveness of my sins. Will you let me be your servant for life? Reverence, honor, respect. It'll all work out. Paul says, work it out. My mother used to say it comes out in the wash anyway. It'll work itself out over time. Well, maybe, maybe not. Maybe it can't work itself out by itself. Maybe we can't work it out by ourselves. Work out your own salvation, Paul says, with fear and trembling. For God is at work within you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Maybe we need the Sovereign One, a mediator that can work it out on our behalf from the inside out. Working it out. What if it's more directional? What if God, who has saved us by grace alone, because I know we hear these words of Paul, we go, wait a minute now, hold it. I thought we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. What's this working it out stuff? You mean I got to do something? I thought I'm saved by grace alone, through faith alone. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, you know that. So what if the one who is at work within us, the one who is our Savior and Lord, the name above every name, the one that we take a knee to before, what if he is working out that gift of salvation, working it out in you and through you for the sake of the world, for the sake of those who have not yet taken a knee for Jesus? The unsaved, the lost who need to be found. What if that's what Paul is getting at? And he's saying, do you know that your salvation is not in doubt or in jeopardy? But your neighbor's is. Do they know Jesus? Because like it or not, willing or unwilling, the day is surely going to come, Paul says, when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, whether they're in heaven or on earth or under the earth. Some of you might remember a movie. I think it was 1959, so I was only 2 years old, but I got this great memory, you know. Actually, I didn't see it in 1959. The Hanging Tree, Gary Cooper. He's a gunslinger, but he's also a doctor and comes into town, and there's an oak tree and there's a hangman's noose that's hanging there and stuff. And it's in Montana, and it's the gold rush days and stuff like that. And so he hangs his shingle and he's going to be doing some doctoring, and all of a sudden they bring somebody in that's been shot and is about to die. He's dying. But he's able to save the man's life. And the man that he has saved looks at the doctor and says, what can I give you for this? What do I need to do? And Gary Cooper, who plays the part of Joseph Frail, the doctor, he says, well, I've always needed a helper. I've always needed and wanted a helper. You could help me, be my assistant. And I could teach you. And the man who had the bullet removed, who was dying, who's been saved, he says, for how long? And there's a beautiful line. The line is, Dr. Joseph Frail says, well, your whole life. Because that's how long you would have been dead if I hadn't saved you. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, Jesus is Lord. Work out your own salvation because God is at work in you, through you, for his good will and pleasure, working it out. If Jesus died for the forgiveness of your sins, if Jesus has saved you from the wages of sin, which is death, then for how long? Well, your whole life, because that's how long you would have been dead if you hadn't been saved. And then to eternity and beyond. Working it out. Jesus tells a beautiful parable. He tells it in our gospel reading for tonight, where there's been these questions back and forth about authority, and then illustrative of the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth. He says, let me tell you a story. There's a dad, a father who owns a vineyard, and he says to his boys, to the one son, go work in my vineyard. Did you notice he didn't say, would you like to mow the lawn today? Would you like to do a little work for me today? He doesn't say that, right? He's the father, for crying out loud. He has all authority. What does he say? Go work in my vineyard. And the son says, well, he lips off and says, no way, right? I mean, imagine that, a son lipping off to his own father. But later he changes his mind, he repents, and he goes. And the second son says, you know you can always come to me, Dad. I mean, he gives lip service, but no follow through. And Jesus says to those who are trying to box him in, he says, so which of the two sons did the will of his father? Well, the one that went. You know what I think? I think the father needs a third son. Somebody that actually says yes and does yes. Someone that promises and performs. Because faith is always working itself out in acts of love and mercy to others. Or it's not faith. It's a joke, but it's not faith. A third son who took a knee for this world, who was obedient unto death, even death on a cross, who, though he was in the form of God, didn't count equality with God, but humbled himself, emptied himself, and in human form, he died for the forgiveness of your sins. Working it out. That's what God's grace is doing in your life and mine. You heard what Ezekiel said? Ezekiel said, there's enough of these proverbs about the fathers have eaten sour grapes, the children's teeth have set on edge. We're talking about absolute divine sovereignty, and we're talking about absolute human responsibility. Two outstanding evangelists, proclaimers of the gospel in the 18th century, George Whitefield and John Wesley. I mean, God used them as vessels to work out the salvation of thousands of lost souls. And they were best friends, but they saw salvation differently. Whitfield was focusing on the sovereignty of God, and John Wesley, even when he died, was unsure of his salvation because he was focusing on human responsibility. And so someone asked George Whitefield once, he said, so in heaven, do you expect to see John Wesley? And George Whitefield said, no, I don't. And the person that asked the question said, because he wasn't converted and wasn't really saved, so he's not going to be in heaven? And George Whitefield said, you asked me if I would see John Wesley in heaven. And I said, no, because he's going to be so close to the throne of Jesus, and I'm going to be so far away, there's no way I'm going to be able to see him. And so you see, God is working it out in you and in me, so that when that day comes, no one's going to have to make us take a knee. We will take a knee before our beloved, and simply offer reverent thanks and awe to the one who gave his life and took a knee for you and me. So God is working it out so that we can take a knee, regardless of what professional athletes or other people choose to do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise as we are able.